Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the best informed decisions possible for yourself and your family. And that purpose, that mission statement can be really applied to the show we're going to do today, because I have invited Julia Roth back. She was on the show 2 weeks ago, I believe, and this is part two, because what we're talking about is so important for you to understand for the health and well-being of you, your family, your community, that Julia's message really needs to get out there. So part two today in my conversation with Julia Roth, and let me just say, first of all, a little bit about Julia. She is a world leader in the use of nutritional therapy for the treatment of mood problems, eating disorders, and addictions. After 10 years as a psychotherapist working with individual adults and adolescents, families and groups in a variety of in-psychiatric and outpatient settings, Julia began to direct programs. Some of her early achievements included the founding of the San Francisco Bay Area's first program for food addicts and for drug-addicted adolescents and their families. Julia is the author of The Diet Cure, The Mood Cure, and The Craving Cure. She has been the subject of many articles and publications from Vogue magazine to the Journal of Molecular Psychiatry. Her own articles have been published in Counselor magazine, the Journal of the American Psychological Association, the Townsend Letter, Practical Pain Management, and elsewhere. She has frequently appeared as an expert on radio, television, and the internet. An NBC special on the New Cure's approach to depression was aired several times throughout the U.S. Julia is now the director of the Craving Cure Virtual Clinic and the Neuronutrient Therapy Institute based in Mill Valley, California. And the last show, we talked about the carb cure, the diet cure. So if you want to get more information, how to cure your cravings, and hear your carb addiction, listen to part one. But today we're talking about how amino acids can balance your mood and safely detox you from SSRIs, those are antidepressants, and anti-anxiety meds. A really important topic, a very profound message, and we're going to be exploring not only the risks and dangers of using the SSRIs and the benzodiazepines or minor tranquilizers, or Xanax as they're called, many names, but also safe and effective nutritional therapies using amino acids and proper diet to be able to address moods and resolve them naturally. And I wanted to say, in preparing for the show, I just did some look at statistics, and this is probably not even up to date, because after the pandemic, there was such a disruption in people's lives and their moods, and anxiety and depression increased. But anyway, up until then, it was estimated 37 million Americans take SSRIs, and somewhere about 30 million take some sort of anti-anxiety meds. There's a lot of meds out there, and we're going to have a huge conversation about all of these issues. So first of all, let me welcome Julia Roth to the show. Julia, it's so great having you back, and I've been looking forward to part two because it's such an important topic, and you are doing such profound work in the area of safe solutions. So welcome back to What Women Must Know.
Thank you. I really appreciate your dividing our conversation into two so we'd, have somewhere close to the time we need to cover these two topics.
I'm just such a huge fan of yours, Julia, and very passionate about the message and the solutions you're providing people. And I'm glad we were able to do part two, because it's a huge conversation. But I do want people to know that they really need to get your book, The Mood Cure. They can go to your website, which is juliarothcures.com, because you have a whole it's a questionnaire, and you can actually assess yourself and look at some of the protocols that are natural solutions to help balance your anxiety and depression and just all the different issues that, can interfere with the quality of life, having been there myself. And that's why I'm so excited that we have this work that you are doing. So let's just jump right in, Julia. Let's talk about let's talk about mood issues, first of all. What are we talking about here? Let's define some of the issues that you are working with in your clinic and in your work and teaching practitioners how to support people in getting their moods balanced. What are the mood issues that are most prevalent right now in our society?
Well, overstress is the top of the heap right now, but, you know, it's sitting on a very high plateau, you know, with high rates of depression and all kinds of anxiety and a whole plethora of unheard of mood problems afflicting kids as well as adults now. I wanted to explain, you know, when you were introducing me, you were talking about some of my early achievements as a psychotherapist in the addiction, eating disorders, mood disorders world. So your listeners are probably wondering, well, why is Cheryl interviewing her? You know, there are a lot of people, you know, psychotherapists, you know, who specialize in, you know, working with various kinds of mood problems and addiction problems and so forth. And the reason that we're having this interview is because I discovered, much to my chagrin, that the psychotherapeutic techniques that I was using, which were state-of-the-art at the time, were just not very effective. And so much so that my addiction program had 100% relapse rate within a week. This was not true when we were dealing with alcohol, but as soon as the crack cocaine epidemic hit, you know, we had no success. And that was the turning point, because in my desperation to find solutions, not being able to lean on all of the techniques that were so beautiful, that were so valuable, but not for stopping cravings and the moods that drove people to drugs, I discovered the science and art of neuroscience, that there was a very substantial understanding by that point in the mid-80s that the brain was the source of cravings and the negative moods that drove people to substances and, you know, set off the whole craving cycle and addiction, permanent addiction, which really, you know, to this day has no conventional cure. So that's what happened to me, is that I was forced into the brain science and the science of brain nutrition, neuronutrition. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, is what are the nutrients that target the parts of the brain that cause us to be stressed, anxious, depressed, sad for no reason, worried, panicking, all of these mood states that I refer to in my book, The Mood Cure, and generally as false moods. These are not the moods that the human race was born to experience on a regular basis. These are aberrations, and fortunately, they're caused by very specific nutrient deficiencies that can be very quickly corrected. And you mentioned the questionnaire, which is on the website. It's actually the 20-year revision questionnaire, so it's hot off the press. And it provides people with the symptoms of their particular neuronutrient deficiencies. You know, there are five possibilities. You could have all five areas that need to be shored up with specific nutrients, or maybe only one or two. So that, I hope, gives us a little bit of a foundation in how did I get from, you know, psychotherapy into neuronutrient therapy. And believe me, it was not willingly. I did not want to become a nutritionist or learn about brain chemistry. But I'm so glad I was forced to do it.
Because you're able to now help people with these particular amino acids, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Very simple nutritional strategies. Wildly effective and very quick to take effect. So it, one of the only problems with my work, and thank you so much for your support, is that it's so effective and it's so unbelievable to people that there could be something within their grasp that's safe, that's actually going to be 100% effective, not just take the edge off, that's not going to cause addiction or side effects.
So do you think that this deficiency in our brain chemistry that can be resolved, as you were saying, and we'll get into in more detail with these specific amino acids, is part of that caused by nutritional deficiencies in our diet?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, before the 1970s, which is when we made radical, huge shifts in our diet, unprecedented in the human race, other than during times of famine, you know, which fortunately, you know, are not the norm, have not been the norm. Yes, we went, you know, crazy in terms of nutrition throughout all of our traditional foods and began to eat very highly refined, high carbohydrate foods because we were told that fat-containing foods were dangerous, and we believed it. And so that meant we couldn't eat fat, and we couldn't even eat dairy products or meats, even chicken, unless it was, you know, very dry breast. And it turns out that specifically high-protein foods that we cut back on radically at that time in favor of sugar and starch. The nutrients that make up high-protein foods are called amino acids. There are 20 of them, and it's five of those amino acids that are required to fuel a what I call a good mood brain, you know, a brain that's producing good moods. We have these five areas of the brain that their job is to make us feel good. And without adequate protein, we can't do that. And when we are eating high sugar foods, it turns out they're highly addictive and we can't stop eating them. And they're addictive because they actually overexcite those five areas of the brain and become addictive. You know, we can't stop overexciting our brain because then we fall into more and more negative moods. So we're always trying to, you know, use toxic substances, you know, intoxicating substances to keep our moods at a bearable level.
And you know, this growing awareness of the brain-gut connection. I was reading an article yesterday by a doctor who was stating that every pharmaceutical drug that's popularly used these days is detrimental to your gut microbiome. And your gut has a direct connection to brain health. So the more we disturb or compromise our gut health, our whole gastrointestinal well-being, the more we actually are contributing to a dysregulation in our brain as well.
Well, and it gets us back to it's through the amino acid production in the gut that the brain is supported in its mood improving duties. In addition to, of course, the amino acids that come from directly from our diet, the gut biome actually produces large amounts on its own. So it's a double whammy. The brain is empty and the gut is compromised. And so our moods just naturally plummet.
Wow. And you probably see some issues with people who are on a very strict vegan diet or even a raw vegan diet because they're so limited in the foods that they take in that are known to be supportive of brain health and mood balancing.
Yes, it's very hard for a vegan to get enough protein, to get the specific amino acids that are needed to create our natural antidepressants and our anti-stress chemistry. As a matter of fact, there's kind of an outcry among people who are trying to use protein powders to augment their vegan diets, because the plant-based protein powders, it turns out, are very limited in the number of amino acids that they have. And they're particularly low in the one amino acid that is the most powerfully antidepressant, and that is the amino acid tryptophan, which converts into serotonin, which is our natural inner sunshine, our natural antidepressant neurochemical.
Well, such important information for people listening who may be on a vegan diet or may know of people who are choosing that path. Just to be aware that, you know, you need to know what you're doing if you're going to follow that dietary regimen. I wanted also to just talk a little bit about some of the risks and side effects from taking SSRIs, antidepressants, and anti-anxiety, because in my work, when I was doing psychotherapy, which was my first profession before I became a naturopath, but I would see so many people who were dealing with so many issues and, erratic behaviors and a variety of symptoms, and never put two and two together that it was their medications that were creating these, you know, experiences, reactions, side effects. So if you can go down a pretty deep rabbit hole if you're on these meds and are experiencing side effects but don't realize that how you're feeling and how you're perceiving is a side effect of those meds, right? You just think it's yourself.
Well, that was definitely true at that time. At this point, you know, there are so many antidepressants and so many people are now taking them, and no one feels uncomfortable about admitting it anymore. It's been so normalized. It used to be that nobody would admit that they were on antidepressants, and now people really, you know, it's just like, you know, having a cup of coffee. It's just sort of expected. They're trading information. They're saying, yeah, you know, I don't feel as anxious and depressed, but on the other hand, I have no sex drive, and I'm gaining weight. And those are the most common, among the most common side effects, you know, that don't even include all the other more serious potential side effects that are less common. So now people know, you know, okay, oh, you're doing better on Wellbutrin than you were doing on an SSRI like, you know, Prozac or Paxil, or, you know, there's so many Zoloft. And so I think I'll try it. And the MDs are so used to people coming and saying, no, you know, I'm having too many side effects, or it's not helping enough. I want to try something else. So people are educated now. And so there's a lot of thrashing around and changing medications, combining medications. There's a whole new class called SNRI that includes, you know, well-known medications like Effexor and Cymbalta, a little more stimulating antidepressants, theoretically. At any rate, there's, you know, a lot of information out there, and nobody really expects anymore to get a complete cure. You know, they don't expect all of their problems to go away. They expect some side effects. They expect limited effects. I think in all the time that I have worked with people's moods since 1987, when Prozac, the first SSRI, came out, I've met three people who felt that they were getting what they needed, and they weren't unhappy about the side effects, whatever they were, or they weren't having any. So we've got to be realistic. You know, these are drugs that are still around because they can work to a certain extent. And that's one of the most important things that I've learned that I want to educate people about, you know, in this interview, and that is that it is possible to get 100% relief from your negative moods that are not circumstantial. You know, most people's depressions, anxiety, these are ongoing no matter what their circumstances are, however good or bad. So the question is, you know, you can get 25% improvement, and a lot of people are very happy to get any improvement. But with the nutrients, what we find is, and we're doing this because we're measuring so carefully people's symptoms when they come in and then every few weeks after they have started the amino acids, and we see on a scale of 0 to 10 that within 8 weeks they don't have any symptoms. All of their symptoms are at 0. That is the standard that we have learned to expect, and that's the standard that people should expect. When you have a nutrient deficiency condition and you take the nutrients, you should expect to feel a lot better very, very quickly. Problem is that most people who are suffering, you know, all these negative mood states now have no idea why they're suffering. And so
that's why I was going to say, for people who are dealing with anxiety or depression, and often you go to a therapist. Now, there's some really excellent modalities out there, and I know we both have studied them, but it's only a piece of that puzzle to really resolve these, perceptions, these mood perceptions, these mood shifts. You also have to understand the nutritional part of what has contributed to why you aren't functioning at your best, at your highest. And it goes back to these deficiencies of amino acids and certain of the foods that that we need, the healthy fats and the healthy protein sources. So,
I think that's a really good point, and I think it's important to say that the SSRIs stand for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So they're targeting the brain chemical serotonin, the neurotransmitter that transmits happiness. They're trying to increase the amount that's available in the brain. And they're doing it with these crude, chemical manipulations. But the natural chemistry, the whole, beauty of it is that very simple, in this case, one amino acid out of the 20, marches into the brain and increases serotonin levels instantly. So if we can keep our levels of tryptophan high, consistently, we have a consistently happy mood. And we can face difficulty in a very different way than if we have none of these, or very little of our natural antidepressant resources present. So they're going after increasing serotonin in two different ways, and the drug way is just doomed to be, somewhat inefficient, if not totally inefficient or dangerous, whereas the brain was designed to thrive on very simple nutritional fuels.
Let's talk about the various mood solutions that you have that people can learn about more when they go to your book, go to your website, but also they want to incorporate into their, their programs, and find these safe alternatives, and which I have experienced, by the way, using your recommendations. We'll talk about the GABA story, I'm sure, in a minute, but I never go anywhere without GABA. that's with me wherever I go, because it just allows me to enter into a place of balance and peace. And I would say it's they call it like a Zen molecule, a Zen amino acid, because it makes you move back into the present moment. You're not anxious, you're not fearful. And I can get into deep sleep, or if I'm anxious or upset or worried about something, I take a little Gaba and I'm chilled and I feel good again. Right.
Well, okay. So you're talking about one of the five flavors of positive mood that combine to give us a general sense of well-being, which is what we're supposed to have marching through life. And so you're talking about the solution to the most common mood deficiency or the most common false mood that people are having now, which is the experience of overstress and anxiety. And so GABA is an amino acid that the brain uses to create tranquility. It actually neutralizes adrenaline. And when adrenaline isn't excessively pumping, we have this natural sense of calm. And that's, Cheryl is talking about something, you know, that has obviously worked beautifully for her and is always available to her during times of stress when she can feel that her GABA levels are dropping. She can shore them up literally instantly. And we find that, you know, in these days, there's hardly a client who comes to us to our virtual clinic who doesn't have stress as a major fact of life. And so when we trial people by giving them a single dose of GABA, for example, right, you know, during the Zoom session, we see and they see how different they are. You know, their posture relaxes, their shoulders drop, their neck relaxes. They're when highly stressed, recently retired business, you know, big business consultant was in the middle of a trialing session and he'd just taken one very low dose of GABA, and he was suddenly looking off to the side, and I was doing this trial for, I very seldom do any of the direct nutritional work, but in his case, I was doing the trialing, and I asked him, "What are you looking at out there?" And he said, "Well, you know, I turned the sprinkler on before I came in to talk to you, and it's going back and forth, and it's creating kind of a rainbow effect." And he was just kind of mesmerized by it. You know, he wasn't high, but he was just very much at peace and with nature out there. And I had to bring that to his attention. I said, "Did you realize that you'd stopped talking and you were just enjoying the view?" And he laughed, you know, because it was such a foreign experience to him by that point. At this point in his life, we know it's 3 months later, you know, he wouldn't go anywhere without his GABA either.
Yeah. So, you know, let me just jump in for a minute. I wanted to share that I was doing a lot of nutrigenomic testing for a while.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I did hundreds of people's genomic testing and looking at, you know, for people who don't know what genomic testing is, it's looking at the aspect of our genes that can be modified through diet and lifestyle, which is, you know, what the whole field of nutrigenomics is about. But I found that the majority of people, Julia, had a SNP, which is inefficiency in their GABA receptors.
Really?
So, yes. So basically, these were people who are highly vulnerable to depression, anxiety, under stress because they lack the ability to produce the amount of GABA required during a stressful event. And those are people I'd always recommend GABA to.
Well, certainly, that's a wonderful, you know, black and white pointer right to the solution.
I just want to say it was also part of the panel in this new genomic testing that predisposed, potentially put at risk, vulnerability of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it probably relates to what the stress component and how that just alters so many systems of our body.
Well, and the fact that without the systems that give us peace, we're going towards toxic foods, you know, like never before in human history. And there's no question that sugar specifically is, you know, a cancer setup. There's just absolutely no question about it. So, but we need it if our brain isn't supplying us with the peace that should be supplied by GABA and the four other mood-enhancing brain chemicals that we should be talking about now.
Before we leave GABA, I wanted to just ask you, first of all, is there a particular form of GABA that you recommend?
Well, with all amino acids, I recommend the lowest dose possible to start with. And in terms of GABA supplementation, we typically start with a 125 milligram. Many of the other amino acids are only available, you know, that the lowest dose available is 500 milligrams. But with GABA, you can find lower doses. And this is the form that we like is chewable, so that it absorbs through the mouth, and that's one of the reasons that it's so effective at that low dose. Anything that absorbs through the mouth is sort of like a mild IV. You know, it goes right into the tissues of the mouth rather than going through the digestive tract and then being rerouted into the brain and the bloodstream. So 125 milligrams for GABA is where we start, and it's absolutely remarkable that the majority of people find that dose to be perfect. Other people need twice that dose, 250, and then there are some people who need the 500 milligram, which is about as high as we ever go, unless people are in an extremely stressed circumstance. For example, people who are withdrawing from addictive drugs tend to get terribly stressed, and very high doses of GABA can be helpful, you know, even up to 1,000 milligrams or more just during the days of withdrawal. But for ordinary, the garden variety kind of stress that most of us are suffering from, 125 to 250, two or three times a day to build up levels while the diet is improving in terms of its protein content so that you're going to be able to make your own GABA. This is the other beauty of the amino acid supplementation route to mood repair, is that we don't need to use it long term. Supplements are not needed on a regular basis. You know, you can. I recommend that people just whatever they tend to be vulnerable in, whether it's anxiety or depression, that they leave those amino acids in the refrigerator. You know, in case you know, they get sick and can't eat, and their amino levels drop, highly stressed circumstances, whatever. So they, you know, might need them again occasionally, but regular need just disappears after a certain length of time. With children, young children, it's typically gone in a couple of weeks. They don't need to take anymore. With adults, it can be anywhere from 3 months to 12 months.
And so we can talk about GABA as being fundamental if you're dealing with any level of anxiety, to whatever degree, you know, that's its response that you're low in GABA. And I sometimes take it before sleep. So would you say it just calms the system down so you can get into a deep sleep cycle? Is that how you would define the benefit of GABA to support and enhance deep quality sleep?
Yes, it's because it's the off switch for adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
So when you want to get into a deeply restful sleep, you have to turn off adrenaline, because adrenaline, by its very nature, turns off all the calming chemistry. You don't want to be calm when you're in the middle of you know, the crisis, the middle of the jungle and being attacked by three tigers, you know, our adrenaline releasing system, you know, stress coping system is primitive. And so if we can turn off the adrenaline because of, you know, whatever the dangers of our, the stressors of our lives are usually not active, you know, at bedtime, we turn off adrenaline and then serotonin levels can rise, melatonin can be released, natural GABA production increases. It just shifts the switch from action in the face of stress to relaxation in safety.
Okay, that's great. Good information. So let's go on to depression and help for people who are going through times of feeling overwhelmed or burdened with depression. And what's the amino acid for that mood state?
Well, that's an interesting one because there are really several flavors of depression, types of depression. But the one that's the most common is the one we've alluded to already, which is the low serotonin type of depression where there's a negativity, irritability, you know, your ability to project positively and optimistically into the future isn't there. The glass is half empty. It's usually accompanied by its own brand of anxiety. And, you know, it can be as severe as panic. So people who have phobias, for example, are very low in serotonin. And worry warts, perfectionists. And when, you know, they may have had these traits, you know, as children. And for most people, if they're going to develop chronic negative moods, it gets worse and worse, you know, as they get older, especially with our current diet and stress levels. By the time they're looking for relief from a low serotonin depression, they've probably tried an antidepressant targeted towards raising serotonin levels in some way and found them to be a mixed bag, as we talked about earlier. So, you know, fortunately, this sort of complex of negative feelings, this discomfort and depression, negativity, worry, all of that is specifically relieved by the use of the amino acid tryptophan, which comes in two forms. There's L-tryptophan, and then there's 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is the short version being 5-HTP. They're in many ways equally effective in terms of, you know, within 5 minutes. The symptoms that I just described are reducing, if not gone. And in the case of providing the tryptophan or 5-HTP to a low serotonin brain syndrome with the anxiety and depression, tryptophan comes in lowest doses of 500 milligram capsule. And so that's where the trialing usually starts with an adult. With a child, the capsule needs to be opened and just a part of the contents used with children. But with 5-HTP, it's a much smaller 50-milligram dose. That's the usual lowest dose, standard dose found. And whichever person tries, it's good to keep in mind that if that one doesn't quite do the trick, that there's an option. You know, if you try tryptophan and it's not quite right, you can try 5-HTP and vice versa. So we've just, you know, we've just discussed eliminating depression across the board that's caused by low serotonin. And that means that people who are on antidepressants, I know this was a topic you really wanted us to cover, antidepressants typically target serotonin. And if, you know, a person's medication isn't working or isn't working well or is causing side effects that they really don't want to live with anymore, they can talk to their doctor about tapering. Doctors are doing this all the time now, is tapering off one and starting another. And in this case, we, for example, in our virtual clinic, we ask our clients to let their doctor know that they want to experiment with tapering down and adding in the amino acid. And doctors, psychiatrists, or, you know, GPs are very happy to work with this. It's maybe happy is an overstatement, but their typical, almost word for word response to this request by their patients is, well, it's not going to hurt anything, but you know, it probably won't help much. And sometimes, you know, I think in all this time that we've been doing this work, there was one psychiatrist who said, absolutely not. You were too disabled, and you've gotten so much better. You're not out of the woods, but you've gotten a lot better with the antidepressant. I don't want you taking that particular amino acid. If you want to take some of the others, like for stress or whatever, I don't care. But what happened with him was he did so well on his GABA and some of the other amino acids we gave him for other false mood states that the psychiatrist actually said, you know what, I want you to try the one. The tryptophan or 5-HTP, whatever they want you to try, because I'm so impressed by the benefits that you've been getting from the other aminos. And sure enough, he got marvelous results from, in his case, 5-HTP, and was able to taper off the antidepressant and was relieved of not only his depression, but he had a panic disorder that was not allowing him to work in his, he was a musician, and he stopped being afraid. You know, the panic disappeared. He was able to, to perform, but he didn't. He realized he didn't want to, and he changed his career. He was very happy. He became a nurse, and you know, this was the only time that we had to wait. That the physician didn't want to go through this process of tapering down the antidepressant and at the same time, at a different time of the day than the antidepressant was taken, introducing the amino acid. And it's an experiment. If the introducing the amino acid does...
Okay.
So this was a case with a very happy ending. It was the only case where we had any resistance from psychiatrists. And he turned, you know, 180 degrees and supported his client, who went on to do beautifully, completely off the antidepressant, able to change his life in ways that he had just been paralyzed, even, you know, with the help of the antidepressant. So we have worked with hundreds of psychiatrists and general practitioners who more and more are taking over the prescribing of antidepressants over the years, and we've really, except for that one person, we just haven't had any resistance. You know, they say, you know, once again, it probably won't help, but it's not going to hurt you. You know, if you want to try it, fine. And they're used to giving tapering protocols to people, you know, how to safely go down off of their medication without getting very uncomfortable or in any sort of danger of withdrawal. And so with the help of, my book, The Mood Cure, has a whole chapter on alternatives to antidepressants and how we go about this. I've written an article that's on the Mood Cure part of my website, Julia Ross Cures. We're constantly helping people get off of antidepressants, not antipsychotics, by the way, or mood stabilizers, but antidepressants at my virtual clinic. And you can find out about that on the Internet as well.
And so, I think we have to, Julie, we have to really emphasize never, never, never stop taking your SSRI. Just don't ever go cold turkey because you are at risk of potential rebound effect and the symptoms can get worse. Right?
That's right.
So
that's right.
Caveat.
And, you know, there's really no reason to. You can you know, comfortably taper down. So taper is the operative word, gradually, and at the same, you know, at a different time of day from the time of day where you take your antidepressants, at least 5 hours away, you can introduce the antidepressant amino acid of your choice, whether it's 5-HTP or tryptophan. And because the benefits are immediate, this is a very comfortable process.
Beautiful. Okay. All right. What else do we know? What other amino acids do we need for different mood issues?
Well, okay, so we've taken care of stress and we've taken care of depression and all kinds of fears. So let's go to our comfort chemistry. That which is provided, our natural sense of comfort and well-being, pleasure in life, is supplied by the well-known neurotransmitter endorphin, which is sort of a general term for kind of a family of marvelous painkillers and joy enhancers, all of which are enhanced and supported by can be enhanced and supported by a single amino acid, but in the long run, all of them are large molecules made up of many amino acids. So particularly where your endorphins are low and you're feeling sensitive, you cry easily, pain is hard to tolerate, whether emotional and sometimes physical as well, where you feel sad, lonely, hurt, you know, often for no reason, no obvious reason, all very common symptoms of endorphin deficiency. And we're now learning that autism is a condition that is associated with endorphin deficiency along with some of the other neurotransmitter deficiencies that I'm talking about now. We're very excited about the possibilities, but we're just actually now working with our first autistic client with tremendous success, but that's one is not enough. So I'm joining forces with several other clinicians to trial and find out. And I will be letting Cheryl know so that she can keep you apprised of the autism connection. But for most of the garden variety people who can't comfort themselves and are turning to chocolate or opiates or pot or whatever for some relief and comfort, the amino acid that increases the levels so quickly is called, it's a very unusual one, D-phenylalanine. So it's terribly difficult to spell, pronounce, whatever, but DPA is the amino acid that protects us from destroying whatever endorphin levels, the stores we have. And it works as quickly as the other amino acids, even though it's the operation is a little different. So, whether we have somebody who's, trying to get off of, ice cream, chocolate, bread, some of the things that are famous for increasing our endorphins in a drug-like way, or, just finding themselves too flattened by, grief, inevitable pain in life, raising the endorphins is an emotional lifesaver. And as I say, easily done with D-phenylalanine. In this case, there's another option too, which is very similar name, D and L-phenylalanine, two forms of this amino acid together. And this one's called DLPA. So all of these things are available online. You can find them. There's, several companies, producing or selling, packaging, each one of them. Okay, so we've got three down. Fourth would be our natural stimulants, you know, wake us up in the morning, ready to roll, face the day, not be afraid of challenges, but stimulated by challenges. And the natural neurotransmitter, brain neurotransmitter that produces this wonderful lively effect, is called norepinephrine. It's actually part of a little complex, but I'm not going to go into it all. The beauty of increasing norepinephrine levels is that it's a direct result of taking an amino acid called tyrosine, or a milder version called L-phenylalanine. We talked about that. I talked about that a little bit ago, but in a combined formula. But so it's mildly stimulating. Tyrosine is strongly stimulating, and we've taken, you know, hundreds, thousands of people really off of caffeine with no problem substituting tyrosine. People who have what I, in the mood cure, I call the blahs, you know, are dragging through life and really dependent on stimulants like caffeine, respond again instantly to the right dose of tyrosine, and 500 milligrams is the starting dose there, as it is with DPA and DLPA and tryptophan. So then the final, the fifth and most complex false mood syndrome is generated by hypoglycemia. So it's a little bit different. It is cured by an amino acid, but any of you who have experienced low blood sugar, and that's, you know, it's pretty much a way of life for most Americans who don't eat regular meals, who are not eating adequate amounts of protein to stabilize their blood sugar so that carbohydrates are not the primary destabilizing dietary factor in their diet. Those people whose blood sugar is plunging down, you know, jacked up by sugar, followed by an insulin release that drops blood sugar too low, at which point we feel stressed, we can't concentrate, we're headachy, irritable, sometimes raging. You know, there are at least 50 different negative mood states that that hypoglycemia can be expressed by, depending on the person. But all of them respond to, you know, a minimum of three solid protein, fat, healthy carbohydrate containing meals a day. And what paves the way for people to be able to then turn to these kind of healthy foods is the use of the amino acid glutamine, which is a miraculous amino acid in a lot of ways, which I don't have time to go into, but very well known and appreciated by the medical field even. But this particular use of this amino acid is for converting into just enough glucose so that the hypoglycemia is relieved, but we don't go into this high insulin state and continue this up and down of blood sugar. It stabilizes our levels, perfects our levels, especially in the brain. The brain doesn't have any stored sugar as the muscles do. The rest of the body, you know, has emergency supplies of glucose. But when our levels drop too low, if we haven't eaten or if we've eaten too many refined carbs, then the brain is helpless unless glutamine is supplied. It tastes very pleasant. Some of our clients carry capsules with them and just open the capsule under their tongue if they haven't been able to get lunch and they go into one of these hypoglycemic mood states, and they're almost instantly relieved, and then they can buy some time to get some food, which is the, of course, the real source of stable blood glucose.
You know, Julia, that's a really good place to start because we've covered all of them, and we're just about at the end of our time.
Yeah.
So I want to be sure to let everyone know there's more information that you can get. You can go to Julia's website, juliarosscures.com, pick up the Mood Cure book. But on her website, she's got this questionnaire. You can find out what you may need, which amino acids according to what your symptoms are, learn more. Share this information with people who are either suffering from these mood disorders or want to get off of their meds safely and effectively and restore their health and well-being. And, I'd like to say more, but I
well, let's not forget that there is a virtual clinic and that there are other, you know, nutritionists who, you know, have learned how to do this work, too, that people can partner with.
Oh, beautiful. So you can actually have guidance with people who are experienced practitioners to assist you, which I think is a really good idea, especially if you want to withdraw off of these meds or have concerns and serious mood imbalances. Julia, thank you for your time. Thank you for the great work you're doing and for the, you know, profound service you're giving to humanity to get back to be optimally the way we were meant to be, happy and joyful and balanced in life.
Well, thank you for helping me get the word out, Cheryl.
Yes, you're so welcome. And to all of you listening, thanks again. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.